In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. In a few moments, I'll be joined by Evan Stanley, who with Nick Simmons makes up Stanley Simmons. And if you're not familiar with those fellas, you certainly have heard of their fathers, Paul and Gene, respectively. The duo have an album coming out later this year, and a single from it, Dancing While the World is Ending, is a recent coolest song in the world. Let's hear some of that now, followed by my talk with Evan on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. The Mighty Manfred with your coolest conversations here in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. And today I'm yakking it up with Evan Stanley, one half of Stanley Simmons, the other half being Nick Simmons. If you're not familiar yet with Stanley Simmons, you definitely are familiar with their respective fathers, Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons. This past February, Stanley Simmons issued their debut single, Body Down, and we're going to take a listen to that at the end of our chat. What we just heard is their tune from this past March, Dancing While the World is Ending, and that is this week's coolest song in the world. Evan, my man, how are you?
Good, man. It's great to hear from you, and thanks for having me on here.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I've read that you and Nick have known each other since you were like babies. So what is your earliest memory of Nick?
Oh, man, I couldn't tell you. I mean, I remember going over there as far back as, pretty much when I was a baby. There wasn't really a time I remember without Nick. But then we never did anything musically for whatever reason, it never really happened. And then in February we tried writing together, and it was kind of magic. We had sung together once before in December, and we thought, you know, let's maybe write a song together and do a song. And then very quickly that turned into a lot of songs, and then Body Down came out in last December, and Dancing While the World is Ending just came out, and it's been pretty amazing to see this unfurl kind of in real time. It started as just a couple of buddies having fun, and now we're playing a lot of shows, and it's really been a blast.
Well, when you two were little fellas there, did you get into any mischief together?
You know, not as kids, because we were more like cousins growing up. You know, there's a small age difference, but when you're kids, you know, a couple years feels like a big difference. So it was more like Nick was my cool older cousin, and then, you know, as we got a little older, we got closer to brothers and you know, really started hanging and working together.
I know your folks split up when you were quite young. How did that work out? You know, like the family life, were you like 50-50, or did you see your dad on the weekends, or how did all that play out?
No, I was 50-50, and I was really lucky. I mean, from a young age, both my parents were so supportive. You know, I started playing guitar when I was about 11. 10 or 11, and that took over. That was everything. From then, I knew it was, you know, that kind of set me down the path. And I played in so many bands through high school, but I was always the guitar player. And then getting into, you know, the kind of late 60s, early 70s singer-songwriter stuff, you know, James Taylor and Joni Mitchell and Stephen Stills, and I mean, all the Crosby, Stills and Nash and Young, that's the stuff that made me really want to write songs. So that pushed me to sing and figure out how to write. And it was, you know, pretty awesome. I worked at a deli through high school and doing delivery. So all I would do is listen to, you know, Sirius XM. I had like the 60s on 6, 70s on 7, and, you know, pretty much all the other channels, but that's kind of what I gravitated towards. And I would just listen to that for hours and then go home and try and figure out bits that I could remember. And that, that kind of started the writing process.
When you talk about trying to figure out bits you could remember, you started playing guitar, you said, at 11, is that right?
Yeah, it was about 10 or 11.
10 or 11, and so guitar is your first instrument. And what motivated you even to play guitar? I mean, because you're, you know, obviously it's just like a fam, you know, got your friend, your dad's does his stuff. Was that it? Or
I went over to my buddy's place, Justin, who's like, he's still, we've been best friends since we were 7, and he could play Smells Like Teen Spirit, which... At the time, it was funny. I wasn't a big Nirvana guy. You know, I'm like 10 or whatever. And I love Nirvana now. But at the time, they were on my radar just as a band that I knew a couple songs of. But he could play one of their songs, and it was a song I knew. And I flipped out. It's like, oh, my God, my friend is playing something that we listen to on our iPods. That's crazy. So I went home that day, and I was like, Dad, you got to teach me guitar. And that's really what set it off. I mean, I can't discount, you know, when you see your parents doing something and it's something cool, I'm sure that sinks in. But really what set me over was seeing Justin play and playing a song that we knew. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And that's really what kind of set me off. And I never looked back after that. I started playing, and it was just every day when I got home from school, I'd play till I fell asleep, and then I'd get up early and play before I went to school. And that was it. I was off.
I guess too, that because it's a peer, you know, it's like, so the illustration is like your dad does this thing with instruments, but then when it's your peer doing it, it's like, it becomes accessible. Maybe that becomes a reality that you can latch on to.
Yeah. It's a very different thing to see a peer do something versus a parent or, you know, someone on TV or wherever it is, to see a friend in front of you do something, it makes it way more real. And yeah, it makes it more accessible. It kind of clicks. Oh, wait a sec, I can do this.
Well, I love to hear that, you know, family is supportive of what you've been doing. And did you mention playing in a lot of previous bands? Because were you doing stuff in high school, playing in bands in high school?
Yeah, but you know, it was high school bands. It was this band for a week and this band for 3 weeks and then the first band for another month, but a different name and a new bass player. And, you know, nothing that materialized for longer than one or two shows. And, you know, the set lists were always recycled songs that were half this band and half that. And, you know, it was more just the experience of getting to play that was great, but nothing particularly serious. And then I started my first band that I actually sang in right when I got out of school in New York, and did that for a bit, and then eventually came back to LA. And, you know, Nick and I linking up at the time we did was pretty amazing, because we've both had different projects and we both had a lot of experiences making music, putting music out, playing music. And I think the timing was just right. It was one of those things that, you know, chemistry is something you can't really create. And I've played with some amazing players where there's just no chemistry. And then I played with some other players that are good, but the chemistry is just insane. And I would take that any day. And thankfully, I mean, Nick is an unbelievably talented writer, singer, and keys player. So there's no lack of ability there. But then the chemistry between the two of us, I think we really even each other out in a way. And to find a partner that really makes up for your shortcomings and allows you to kind of be the best version of yourself is the best thing you can have. I think we really push each other to be better, and we also balance each other out. So I think we get a little extra dimension by having two of us.
Well, what are your shortcomings, and how does he make up for that? How does he help you with that?
I got plenty of them, but I think on the most surface level, just everybody has a natural disposition on the kind of songs that they write, whether it's subject matter or particular feels or moods, and our defaults are very different. So I think when you listen to the record down, it's a really cool thing for me, because hopefully everyone feels the same, but you know, I never get bored listening, because it's very clear when it's a me song or a Nick song or an us song. You know, most of this record was stuff we wrote together, but then there are a number of songs that I wrote and a number of songs that Nick wrote. And I think that balance is really nice. So you don't ever get tired of one type of song. You know, it all sounds like Stanley Simmons, but there's a range. I really, really love records that have an arc from start to finish. And I think that's something that has gone away a bit with the streaming era. As much as I love the fact that everyone listens to everything now, there's no genre war or anything like that. You can just listen to what you like. And I think that's amazing. Now records, one, have gotten so long where like you see records that are 18, 25, 30 songs. And a lot of times the songs can get a little samey after a while. And I grew up listening to, cause I had CDs, you know, it was that time, like 2010, 2012, we had iPods, but we still had CDs. So I would listen to an album from start to finish. Cause if I bought a record, I'd be like, well, man, maybe the last song's good, even if I didn't like the rest. So I'd always get the experience at least once of going start to finish. And I love that when you find a record you really connect with and it can take you on a journey. That's so cool. And that's something that we were really, really keen on doing, or at least doing our best to capture, is a record that takes you through, you know, the scope of moods and kind of puts you in a place.
I wanted to talk to you some about, you know, how you and Nick get together in terms of Stanley Simmons. So, but first, when I was reading about him, I see stuff about him being a comic book creator, actor, and but not really music stuff until I came across this band, The Dives, with yourself, right? Can you tell me about The Dives? And was he actually in The Dives with you? Is that when you first started working together musically?
No, he had nothing to do with The Dives. That was just an old band of mine from New York. That was the first band that I sang in. And you know, Nick's been singing forever. Nick's first passion is music. He's been singing since pretty much as long as I can remember. I remember being maybe 11 or 12 and going to see Nick at the Whiskey with his high school band. And he's been at it for a long time too. And I think that's part of why we work so well together, is both of us, there's no ego to any of this. We've been in bands before, you know, it has to be my song. I have to sing this part. It's just whatever's best for the music. You know, there are songs that Nick will bring in where he's like, what do you think? Like, maybe we fix this. And I'm like, no, like, this is great, man. I wouldn't touch a thing. Let's just record it, and vice versa. And then there are other times where one of us will bring in a song that the other really likes, but let's change this or this or this. But you know that it's only for the benefit of the song, the product, not someone's own individual desires. Cause we both, you know, we're so into what we're doing. We love what we're creating. It's so awesome to have two minds that are looking ahead at the same goal and working towards it equally. It's a really, really awesome feeling that I haven't quite had before.
And it's kind of Simon and Garfunkel will get Stanley Simmons getting together, right? What's the story? You guys did this TikTok video cover the song?
Yeah, in December of 2024, we were hanging out. We're like, you know what? Let's just make a video for Instagram and TikTok together. You know, it'd be fun. And we've never sung together before. We had never done anything musically. So this was, December of 2024. We made a video of Sound of Silence. We both love Simon and Garfunkel. And at the time, I was in like a rock band, and he was in kind of an atmospheric, dark, moody sort of band. So we were like, this is a kind of music that we both really love and is foundational to both of us, but we don't really get to make a lot. So why don't we do that? And we did. And we thought it would, you know, get some views, but we didn't think it would go crazy or anything. And, it, you know, within a day, it was at 1 million or 1.5 million views. And then it just kept going up. And we were like, wow, wait, that's kind of crazy. And then we were talking because as we both listened back, I think we both noticed there was something really special to the way our voices blend. You know, anyone can sing harmonies, but if you're lucky, you get this kind of third voice when you combine two that come together to make something that's neither one or the other. It's something new. And we kind of were like, wait, I think we have that. This sounds really special. There's something to this. And in February of 25, we figured, you know, let's maybe do a song together, two songs. But at that stage, it was still do one or two, maybe three songs. And so I had a song that I thought would be cool for us. And Nick had a song he thought would be cool for us. But then we thought, you know what, let's write a song. Let's just add one and might as well try writing together. And we did. And it went so quickly, but not only so quickly, it went so well. The next morning, I remember listening back and having this realization of, wait a second, this is my favorite song I've ever been a part of. This is something really, really different. It just hit a deeper nerve to me of, you know, what it was and what it could be. And I called Nick and he was like, yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, we should probably write more. And
okay, now let me interrupt here because I want to, is that song you're describing, is that Body Down?
No, it's Temporary Love. So
okay, so and that's like the most, that's the newest single that's come out.
Yeah, that came out last week.
So I wanted to go back to that in a second. And we're going to go out with Body Down. But this week, we're featuring our coolest song in the world this week is Dancing While the World is Ending. So let's talk a minute about that. So it's got kind of this, or to me at least, it's got kind of this Iggy Pop passenger kind of rhythm to it. It's like not, it's got this sort of then, what do you say, conjures up that the vibe to it. What was the inspiration for Dancing While the World is Ending? And is this a song that either one of you guys, because you mentioned both of you sort of had a song you thought would work with each of with one another, or is this something that you guys also worked on together?
So after Temporary Love, that was the first song that we wrote together, and we thought, oh, we definitely got to write more, and we just started writing nonstop. And Dancing While the World is Ending was, I had that kind of riff, that intro rhythm and feel in the first verse, but I wasn't quite sure what to do with it. And I wasn't sure if it was any good or, you know, what to make of it. But I was with Nick and I played it for him and he was like, wait, no, that's really cool. And he loves Iggy Pop and, you know, like Lust for Life and all those Bo Diddley beat songs, the dun, 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 ba, dun, dun, is such a cool, it's such a cool rhythm. And, you know, so many people have used it over decades and there's a reason it just feels good. And he was like, no, man, like this could be really cool. And I was pretty kind of dismissive of it, but he was on me like, no, this could be something, let's write this. And then we were hanging out with our buddy Jacob and we just sat down and banged that out in like, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. All that, Body Down. There's another song called All I Want for Us that's on the record.
Well, who is Jacob? Tell me something about Jacob here. He's your buddy. You co-wrote this with him and also Body Down.
Yeah, he's just a great friend of mine that we got introduced a few years ago. And on a writing session, he's an incredible writer and just ridiculous musician. He's one of those guys who's like frustratingly talented at whatever instrument he picks up. But I was put on a writing session with him maybe 5 years ago, and we just hit it off and started hanging a lot. And, you know, he's one of my closest friends. And when this project started, he was like, we got to write something for it. We got to write. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And he and Nick became really tight and, we just started hanging a lot, but we started hanging before we started writing. And I think sometimes that's the best thing you can do. It's, you know, to get a kind of looseness and a level of comfort with the people you work with. So when we started writing, it was just so easy. You know, each one of those songs that I mentioned, I think the longest one might have taken us 30 minutes. And you know, sometimes you bang your head against the wall for days or weeks or even months with a song, but all those thankfully were really quick, and dancing was no exception. That was a fast one. And we always make a demo right after we write, and just an iPhone, you know, you throw an iPhone on the kitchen counter, yeah, play through, and listening back to it, the demo is definitely janky, but I think all of us were like, this is cool. This could be a really fun, you know, up song. And I think now it's so easy to get down on. There's so much weird stuff happening in the world. And especially now that we live in such a global world because of socials, you know, you're always seeing every little bad thing that happens in every corner and crevice of the world. And then a lot of things on top of that are changing, and maybe some not for the better, with the way that AI is getting used and the way that just social norms have shifted because of it. And I think it's easy to get down on all that, but then sometimes you got to take a step back and just be like, well, we're here, so we might as well have a lot of fun. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of it. It's like, you gotta not lose sight of what makes life good and worth living. And that song's really just about trying to capture that feeling of like, you know, it might be a weird time, but it's a good day at least, you know, today's good.
I hear you. And I'm down with everything you've said there. And what I also like here is the juxtaposition, song types, let's say, is that a word or an idea, song types? You got the vibe going on in Dancing While the World is Ending versus your latest single, Temporary Love. But Temporary Love, it seems like maybe you could get Paul Simon or Garfunkel to do it.
I mean, that would be crazy. I grew up loving Simon and Garfunkel. I think Bookends is one of the greatest records ever made. And I mean, so is Bridge Over Troubled Water. So is every Simon and Garfunkel record. They didn't put out anything that wasn't incredible, but those records meant and mean a ton to me. So that's, I'll take that as a huge compliment. I love those guys. And that's really what started this project, is that song. And what you hear on the single is basically the demo we made. That guitar was recorded. That was when Nick and I were writing it. So I sent Nick a guitar recording just to, you know, write over that. I was lazy, so I just recorded that guitar straight into my MacBook in my kitchen. I used the built-in MacBook Pro laptop mic, and that's the final guitar in the single. And the vocals are just, he did his in his bedroom, I did mine in my bedroom. And, you know, at the studio, we added a bass and one electric at the end. But the bulk of that is just the demo that we made in our bedrooms. That's really what started Stanley Simmons.
Wow. Well, you've alluded a couple of times, not alluded, but you mentioned an upcoming album. How many songs are on the album, and when can we expect it to come out?
Well, the record originally was going to be, it's changed a few times. You know, we wrote a lot quick, and then we whittled it down, and then we whittled it down more, and it was going to be 12 songs. And we put up actually the pre-save, did the announcement and everything. So it's coming out August 28th, and that's still true. It's coming out August 28th, but we put up the pre-save so everyone could see the tracks and all that. But then we played these shows. We played our first shows ever last week. We did 4 shows kind of around Southern California, and there was this new song that we played, and we just noticed that people really got into it live and really started moving. And you could tell, you know, when you watch the audience, because it's a funny thing to say, but I think all of us go to shows, so we're used to seeing the band, but very few people think of the band's perspective, which is they're watching you. So we're watching the audience the whole time. So I'm always paying attention to what gets people into it, what gets people moving, what do people really respond to. And there was this one song that I think we all just noticed people were really responding to, and our producer and manager came out to the last show, and he saw it, and he was like, we got to track this tomorrow. So we just actually finished tracking that yesterday, and that's going on the record. So now the record's going to be 13 or 14 songs. We're actually figuring that out today. We have to go through the sequence, but it'll be 13 or 14 songs, and it is coming out August 28th. So I'm so, so excited. I'm under no illusion. I know a lot of people don't listen to records anymore. They don't listen to full records. They, you know, pick and choose singles and they save them in their playlists. But for the people out there who do listen to records, I'm so excited to get this out in the world. Even if there are only 10 of them, you know, they're not as many, but they're my people, and those are the people that, I mean, I'm grateful and happy for anyone to listen to us, but I'm really excited for the people who are going to listen to the whole record because it's something we put so much time and attention into, not just the songs, but how they play into and against each other. And you know, when you're making a record, there's so many little things to think of that I think people don't realize that go into making it cohesive without being samey. And that's something we really tried to capture. And I think we did. I'm really excited about and very proud of this record. So I can't wait for people to hear it.
So you said it comes out the 28th of August.
Yeah.
And do you have a title for the album yet?
Yeah, it's called Dancing While the World Is Ending.
Oh, that's the title track. Okay. Can you tell us what is the title of the song that has got the people moving?
That one, well, luckily, we're very lucky. I played so many shows to nobody, you know, I played for years and years and years, and a lot of people showed up to these first shows. It was really amazing to see, and a lot of people knew tons of the songs, even songs that aren't out, they knew from socials, like just us teasing them. So thankfully, I gotta say, all the songs were received well. They're really, and this has not always been the case. I can tell you so many sets I've played where there was only one song received well, but you know, we were really lucky, and I'm so happy to say that there wasn't really a dud in the set. They all went off really well, but the new one is called Don't Leave Me Here Like That. And that one, we just noticed that, you know, people started really moving, and we thought it had to be on the record because it really held its own with all the others, and you know, gave an extra little kick of energy at a point in the set I think was needed. So that's the new one. It's called Don't Leave Me Here Like That. And we just I got home at like midnight last night, having just finished the last we tracked that Monday and Tuesday this week, but we wrapped up the whole thing and it feels so good. Tracked the last bit of some slide guitar on it last night and called it.
You mentioned playing out several shows in California. I know that earlier this week you played with Buddy Guy in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. What other gigs do you have coming up? You want to There's going to be something tied into the record coming out towards the end of August, maybe something in the fall, or what are the plans?
Absolutely. When we got this together, I mean, by day two, all Nick and I could talk about was we got to get on the road. We got to play shows. We got to play shows. It's, you know, that's like what we live for. And it feels so good to be playing now because we made this record. And in the scheme of things, it really wasn't long from the, you know, start of the band to the release of the first single was 10 months. And we had most of the record done by the time that single came out. So it was in some ways quick, but at the same time, when you really want to play live and you're not playing live, it feels like forever. So it feels great to be playing live now, and we're doing quite a few secret shows around LA before the end of summer. So those are going to be really fun. It's something that I grew up going to, and you know, there's a long history, especially in LA, of like kind of house party shows, and I think it's a really fun way to just reconnect with people face to face and intimately, but also immediately. I think there's an urgency when you're playing to people, not on a stage, but you know, right in front of their faces, a foot away from you. There's something really cool and really fun about that, and it's very in the moment. You know, people are not on their phones and not thinking about where to go next or this or that. You're just together in a space, having a great time. So we're throwing a few kind of secret parties around LA and playing, and then we're going on tour to support the record starting in September. So I'm really excited for that. We're hitting kind of everywhere we possibly can. It's going to be a lot of shows. So we haven't announced the dates yet, but we will very soon. And actually yesterday was a great day because we finished up tracking this new song, and then right before we left, we got the proposed tour routing from our agent, and I'm so stoked. It's a, you know, proper 6-7 week tour with a lot of dates. So I'm really excited to get out there and play.
All right, Road Dog. We're going to take a listen to another tune of yours. Want to take a listen to Body Down. That was a single back in March. And did you say you co-wrote that one with your buddy Jacob?
Yeah, so that's actually, that was the third song that Nick and I ever wrote together. And that was the first one that came out. That came out December 5th of 25. I don't remember the dates of the others, but that was the first one. So I remember that date. And it's, we wrote that, that was the second song we wrote the same day, because we had written a song called All I Want for Us, which is on the record. And we finished it early. We finished pretty quick. And I started playing this riff I had, but I had no idea what to do with it. And Nick walked in and goes, oh, it should go like this. And he just sang the verse, first pass. I'm like, oh, whoa. And then I went, oh, and then it should do this after. And I sang the pre. So within, 45 seconds, we had the verse and pre. And then Jacob started playing some chords. He's like, this should probably be the chorus. And we all kind of started humming and mumbling. And that was done. That was probably like a 10, 15 minute song. We wrote the whole thing in, and it became the first single. So that was a really cool one. That's a special one, because it was the first single, at least. It was the first one to go out in the world.
And when you said they write the pre, you mean the pre-chorus?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I was reading up about one of your songs, something you said Nick walked in. Was that where he was going to the John or something? He was going to the toilet?
That was it. That was Body Down. He walked out of the bathroom and he heard me playing that riff. Because it was one of those riffs that I had knocking around for 2 or 3 weeks, but just really didn't know what to do with it. And he just sang, it was like, oh, it should do something like this. And that was the verse.
Excellent. Wow. Coming together, man.
Yeah, it feels good.
That speaks to that symbiotic relationship.
You know, it's a really, really great feeling to have a partner who is as talented and driven as Nick. And again, who, you know, we just balance each other well. It's a huge load off too, because, you know, there's some days where I try and write every day, but there are plenty of days I just don't get anything good. And it's easy to get in your head going like, oh, I'm never going to be able to do it again. I'm never going to write again. I can't do this. But, you know, when you have a partner who is doing the same thing, I have plenty of off days, but usually those are his on days and vice versa. So it works out really well.
Well, Evan, man, thank you so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me, man. We got to get you out to one of these shows in the fall.
I hear there's secret shows going on too.
Hey, if you're in the area, we'd love to have you at any of them.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. But now, here's Stanley Simmons with the debut single Body Down and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Down. That is Stanley Simmons here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred. Thanks again to the group's Evan Stanley for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Kurt Baker for producing our podcast. And be sure and catch our next Coolest Conversations presented by Hard Rock here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.